Let's look together as we near the conclusion of Acts at the 11th and to 16th verses of the 28th chapter. I hope you found it interesting to walk through Acts. It's the earliest history that we have of the church, and I think God has so much to speak to us, to show us, to encourage us with in this book. It's been a real delight for me to walk through it, and I hope it has for you as well, that you've gleaned at least some things to help you with on your journey as well. Before reading this, I'll just share a story. Anybody see Blindside? Or have read maybe the book, you know, about that family, I think their name's pronounced Tui, who adopted a kid who was kind of in trouble, but they took him into their home, and he went on as he was a big kid to begin with and grew up to become an NFL player. I was reading that he still, somebody asked, are they still in touch with each other? And the answer that at least Google came up with was, yes, they see each other often. You know, they had family, the Tuis had a big influence, especially the mother, on his life. And they wrote a book after Blindside called In a Heartbeat. And they write there is a little-known congressional program that awards internships to young people, listen to this, who have aged out of the foster care system. And when you turn 18, I think it is, you're out. And a lot of these young people, you know, I'm thinking of when I was 18, boy, I didn't have the skills necessary. Some people would say, I don't have the skills now. Thank the Lord for having a woman in my life. That's all I can say. And so as this one congressman took under his wing as an intern, a young man who was coming out of the foster care system. The story goes, they tell that one morning he came in to the office, the senator did, and was like amazed at what it looked like. Everything was in its place, whereas before it was a shambles. And he looked at his, he said, how did this happen? And he was like, told that it was this young man who did it. He said to the young man, this is amazing. The mailroom has never looked so clean. You did a great job. You did a great job. And you know, as they relate this story, they say when he looked back at him, it got quiet. And when he looked back at him, he saw that the young intern had tears running down his face. And he asked him, well, did I say something wrong or something? And the young man said this, no, sir. It's just that's the first time in my life anyone's told me that I did something good. That's the first time someone's told me that I did something good. You know, encouraging each other, that's a spiritual gift. In Romans, it's mentioned as one of the gifts of the Spirit. And a little bit of attention, the Tuis concluded the story with. They said, a little bit of attention and a kind word. That's how little it takes to affect someone's life for the better. And I just tell this story because this is Mother's Day. And I think of the conversations I had with my mother, and I'm sure that you've had with your mothers. And, you know, there's more than mothers that are in our lives who have touched us with words of encouragement, aren't there? Some people haven't had the gift of having a child, but they've been a mother to so many others. You think of what we're called at one time, maybe it's politically incorrect to say this now, but the spinster aunt, and the role that they've had, the impact on their life. This story in Acts, we'll see how some people encouraged Paul in his life. He was still in shackles, and they encouraged him. And so let's hear from this little account. It says, now remember, Paul was shipwrecked on this tiny little island, Malta, in the Mediterranean Sea, not far from Sicily. And it says, after 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered on the island. It was an Alexandrian ship, so in other words, it bore grain. For Egypt was the breadbasket of the Roman Empire, especially of Rome. And so the Alexandrian ship had a figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. They would have been sort of like the patron saints, I guess, if you will, of the pagan world of sailors and travelers. So it goes on in verse 12, we put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. Syracuse is right on the southeast corner of Sicily. And very ancient city. It had been founded by Greeks and was in the Carthaginian Wars, a central sort of region of battle. Great sea battles were fought off of Syracuse. The Romans ended up conquering it sometime in the 3rd century BC, and so it became a principal seaport in the Roman Empire for Sicily. It goes on then to recount how from there, after those 3 days, they set sail again and arrived at Rhegium. Now, Rhegium is sort of like the toe, if you will, of the boot hill entirely of the Italian peninsula. It's right on the toe. And so it's a very short distance away from Syracuse itself. The next day, the south wind came up. In other words, blowing from the south to the north. So they had a very favorable wind. And we're arriving on the next day to Puteoli. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. So a whole 7 days they stayed with them. I'm not sure about the Romans who were along with them. You know, they had a large company of other prisoners and Roman soldiers and the centurion who protected Paul, remember? And so all these guys, I guess they consented. Well, okay, let's stay a week and have a party. And so they stayed there a week. And from thence came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, the brothers in Rome. And they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns by name to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier to guard him. He would have remained in shackles, at least on his feet. But he was able to have a house sort of his own, probably donated by these fellow Christians to whom he had written 3 years earlier, the letter that we now call the letter to the Romans. And as he stayed there under house arrest, still in shackles, at least in his feet, with a Roman soldier to guard him. The Forum of Appius is a famous place. It was as one who, by the name of, who do you think? Appius was a Roman senator who lived, and statesman who lived in the late 300s, so around, let's say, 312. Because in 312, he built a road that went by his name, the Appian Way, which connected Rome all the way across over the Apennine Mountains to a town at the boot heel. You know, remember, the one town was at the toe. The other town would have been at the boot heel itself of the Italian peninsula. It was by the name of Brindisi. And so in 312, he built this road going across, and it became a major artery for the Roman Empire. And so these Roman Christians came to meet Paul by way of the Appian Way. And they met in particular at a place called the Three Taverns. Now, why do you think they called it that? Yeah, right. I see you shaking your head, Dick. Three Taverns. So, you got it. And it was sort of like, if you want to think of it in the way of the inn that Jesus' parents went to. It was a place where travelers would have gone and stayed. And according to this, there were three taverns at this particular crossroads for them to meet. The thing that strikes out is what Paul did. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was, the NIV says, encouraged. The actual words in the Greek are, he took courage. He took courage. I'll tell you, there's really no greater gift that we can offer to each other beyond unconditional love than this gift of encouragement of each other, is there? You know, so often you hear of people whose, like, occupation seems to be to run other people down. But the real gift and sign of the Christian is that they encourage each other. The seminar I went to, one professor by the name of Rod Cooper identifies five things that are marks of encouragement. Encouragers, he says, freely give of their resources. You know, when they see their need, they meet it. They encourage people to accept each other as they are. You know, we all want to be some other place, right? Like, we want to grow. But we're not there yet. And encouragers accept each other, accept their people where they are now. Hoping, yes, for the best. Encouragers get excited. This is the next, about progress in others. I had a coach once for same team, baseball. And, you know, I was crappy. I was just not a good player. I think I needed glasses, but just really didn't realize it. But this guy, he would always shag balls out for us, you know, with his little bat. And it didn't matter if I caught the ball or not. He was always like, good effort. That's an encourager. Good effort. Encouragers also, he said, meet a current need. And lastly, encouragers give each other a second chance. Now, how often do we need that second chance? Or third chance? Or fourth chance? What is it Jesus said? How many times when the disciples asked him, should we forgive each other? Forgive. And he said, you know, 7 times 70. One says 70 times 70. One of the Gospels, I think, says 72 times 70. In other words, whatever, it's unlimited. Just, we got to keep going with each other and our patience. And it strikes me that mothers in particular, fathers as well, have the intimate relationship that no one else has. No coach, no scout leader, no even teacher. Teachers have a really important role in encouraging, I think, today. In fact, I think actually teachers are overburdened with the role that our society is now asking of them. But encouragement can mean so much. I had a teacher once who I like to read Tom Swift? I think that was it. Anybody read Tom Swift when they were a kid? They were like adventure stories. And anyhow, I read it was sort of a Jules Verne voyage to the bottom of the sea, or that he was telling. And so I drew something that looked like a diving bell, and I came up, really I just copied it after the story. I showed my teacher, I can still remember his name, Stanley Sloyer. And he said, you ought to patent that. Now I'm sure he knew that I just got that from somewhere. But he was an encourager. And the best teachers are like the best mothers, are like the best fathers. They encourage the growth that can happen in a person. And who knows where that will end? Paul saw these brother Christians coming to him. And in a way, you know, this was like, for them, a triumphal entry. Their hero of the faith was entering into Rome. And in that era, you know, the emperor, after a conquest, would ride a white horse into Rome preceding all the slaves that he had captured and the conquest, riding through a triumphal arch, some of which still stand to this day. Here, Paul in chains. The irony is that Paul was coming to Rome in triumph as well. A triumph because he was a follower of Jesus and had passed on this faith, encouraged these Romans. And so they came out to meet him. John Trent, in a little book called Choosing to Live the Blessing, relates this account of encouragement, the power of encouragement. There was a sister, Helena, I'm not sure I'll pronounce it right, Marosia, taught at a parochial school. A sister, a nun, a teacher, a mother to so many. You hear the bad stories, but here's a great story. She said in an earlier grade, she had taped, I'd love to know if she could get away with this. She couldn't get away with this today. She had taped Mark's mouth shut for talking too much. I had a teacher once who threw an eraser at me all the time. And he said to me, Fisher, I am sick and tired of your feeble attempts at humor. So, Sister Marosia was sort of like this guy. His name was he was a student teacher at the time. And his name was also Stanley Savakis. No, it was Ernie. Ernie Savakis. But he encouraged me, believe it or not, even though he's always throwing chalk at me. And he told me that. But he also saw something in me. He was a coach for me. And Sister Marosia, after taping Mark's mouth shut and had him in a later class, a math class up in middle school, and she said she really worked the students hard 1 week. And so on Friday, she decided, I'm going to give them a break and I just want them to write down words of encouragement to each other. Well, when Mark was shot in Vietnam and all his classmates went to his funeral along with her, they found in his wallet on the field a folded up piece of paper that had been folded again and again into a tiny little wad. And there on that list was the list of all the words of encouragement that he had carried with him throughout the time of his life. Until Vietnam took his life. Words of encouragement carry us through our lives. And Jesus spoke the greatest words. I call you no longer my servants. I call you my friends. For greater love has no one than this, but to lay down their life for their friends. That's what you are. The friends of our Lord. And therefore, we're each other's friends. And our job is simply to encourage each other, isn't it? Lord, we thank you that you've given us each other.